there are many, many things and many points in this regard to be talked about. So help me concentrate also and try to really, we have limited time, it's almost quarter till nine, so really try to focus on the point of discussion, you know. So what I want to talk about is the factors contributing to, more efficient sadhana, efficient meditation, factors contributing to higher quality of meditation. And I'm sure all of you have been meditating for some time now. So all of you also may have things that you can add and contribute that will be valuable to all, everybody else. So when we look at meditation, you know, in a broad sense, what we have is a certain aspects by which we should look at this whole thing we are doing. Number one, there is an aspect of goal. We should have a clear understanding of what the goal is. All of these are contributory to a higher quality meditation. The other thing is we should have a proper psychic outlook toward our meditation, and we'll be talking about all these things. So, clarity of goal, psychic outlook. Third point is the mechanism should be clear to us, mechanism of meditation. What we are doing and why we are doing it. So some of these things are what I call theoretical or indirect value. And that is the mechanism here. Mechanism is what we are doing and why we are doing what we are doing. And next point is the actual process, contributor factor to better quality of meditation. So these are kind of like the broad categories or broad item that we should keep it in mind. So let's, the very first point is clear concept of goal. Clear concept of goal is very, very important, no matter what you're doing. If you're running, if you're fighting a lawsuit, or if you're writing a C code, or if you're designing, you know, high-tech circuitry, you know that you have to be very clear about what it is that you're trying to accomplish. And it's the same thing with meditation. What is the goal of life? And why am I doing these things? This, what this does, it creates a momentum in your mind that, no, this goal is supremely valuable to me. This is the purpose of my life. And I'm doing meditation not because I'm supposed to do meditation. I'm doing meditation because that is the purpose of my life. This is what I really am. So this is called clarity of goal should be there in your mind. If it is not clear, then you should examine yourself very, you know, with sense of honesty as to why then am I doing it? If this is not important, why am I doing it? What is causing me to do it? Now there might be various things in it. You may be doing because you think you really should be doing. There's something behind it I don't understand, but it's really valuable. Okay, that's also good enough. Because what that shows is that you are on a path of investigating. You are investigating, exploring. Be always true to yourself. Be always honest to yourself. What you don't know, admit it that I don't know. What you don't know, investigate. If you don't admit and if you don't investigate, you'll never find the truth. So be honest. Be clear about your goal, you know. And this purpose of this class is not the goal of human life. But we could have a discussion on the goal of human life. But I am assuming at this stage that we all are in agreement about the purpose and goal of life. And that is that we are human beings. We are a special life force. Special in the sense that this life force is aware of itself, its purpose. It is aware of God and God's creation. By the grace and mercy and compassion of God, this human stage understands the purpose of life and understands that God is the creator and terminating point of my life. The dogs and monkeys and cows, they don't know that. So, at human stage, the very purpose of life is attainment of God. There is no two way about it. How you get it, how you get there, all of that is debatable. But what it is uncompromising truth of human life. That is the purpose of human existence. What makes it a human is a clarity that God is the purpose of life. And these you should all carefully think in your mind, what is God and what is the purpose of life? And why? What is human life? These are the kind of things that are also deeply sentimental to each one of us. So we should be honestly exploring this thing, because this is a foundation of where you will receive the maximum desire and force of your life, that this is where I have to be going. If you develop this strength, then no one will be able to sway you away from your path. Look at all the madness going on in Anandamarga. You know, people are lost. What to do, what not to do, what is wrong, what is right. We are not. We are never, none of us in our class are ever confused about it. Because our foundation lies clearly with the honest evaluation of purpose of our life. So please remember that. Spend some time talking to yourself when you're taking shower, when you're driving, when you have a free time like that. You know, think about who am I and why is this purpose of life. Yeah? So goal of life is very important. If you meditate without clarity of this goal, sooner or later what will happen? Meditation will become second and third priority of life. Something else will take over. But if you are clear about the goal, even if you miss meditation, even if you don't do meditation, even if meditation is very bad or poor, whatever it is, but if you are clear about the goal, very quickly you will find your way in your life and you'll be back on the track. So take some time, establish your root with clear understanding of this goal. Second, and probably the most important force in helping you do the best meditation, in other words, that improving quality of meditation, or the very existence of the quality of meditation, what is it? What is the most important single element? At least in a devotion. And devotion also here, if you say a little bit more specifically, same point, how will you describe? More in morning practice, our relationship with our Ishta, our relationship with Baba, our Guru, relationship with Ishta. And what type of relationship do we have? This also requires an inner search at a feeling level. The first thing about the goal was a little bit more intellectual, little bit more tantric in nature, a little bit more Shaiva tantric, you know. This one is more Vaishnava tantric question, devotional aspect. It comes from the rather softer side of your being, you know, softer side of your heart, of your mind. When you touch the softer side of your mind and you go deeper within, then you should ask, what is my relationship with Baba? What is Baba to me? What is he to me? And what is I am to him? This you should try to find out, either by talking to people, by reading his books, by reading personal experiences of people. And by meditating upon him, you will come to know. And I can tell you this much, that Baba has enormous love, immeasurable love for each and everyone. Not only that is here, but also these troubles. And he awaits your awakening. He awaits when you will come to him with full force of love and devotion that he has given. Love and devotion is yours simply to ask. It is the most valuable treasure of human life, and it is the least expensive. God has created most expensive things, least expensive, free. Oxygen is free. And so is love for God is totally free. All you have to do is ask for that love with a true and sincere heart. You know, like a child, you have to cry for his love. And offer what is best in you at his feet. Offer him your most loving, softer side. And you'll be able to do that if you understand how much he loves you, how much he cares, how much he awaits your spiritual awakening. So this devotional side you should constantly try to reawaken. Not only awakening, but constantly try to reawaken. It's like, you know, it's like polishing gold. You don't polish it one time. You have to keep polishing silver. Same way, you must reawaken devotion regularly. And you must cry when you meditate for him. You should grab hold of his feet and cry for him. You know you are surrounded by this material world and material engagement. Mind gets polluted by it. But that's okay. You know, we are tantric warriors. This pollution may come to us but cannot touch our mind. Cannot and can never touch our heart. Heart in which Baba says pollution cannot touch the heart. We are surrounded by pollution. We have to work in pollution. And we have to engage in pollution and we have to drink that pollution and we have to, you know, regurgitate that pollution. But it will never touch us. It can never touch us. We live in this world, we have to live in a worldly way. So this is called vairagya. This is the word I was looking for last time, vairagya. We should develop a true vairagya. Vairagya comes from the word vi plus raga. You know? Vi prefix has many meanings. And in fact, there are two meanings. Vi is vishesha, means specific. Very, very vi-nana and vijnana, specific type. But the other meaning of vi is opposite also. So here a vairagya is a vi plus raga. Raga means attachment. Vi means free from. So vairagya means free from attachment. But free from attachment does not mean neglecting that thing. But free from attachment means even while engaging with that thing, you are not affected by that thing. So, vairagya from your job, vairagya from money, vairagya from worldly object does not mean that you are neglecting, you are running away from it, but that you engage in it without being affected by them. You have to engage with it because you are living in the world, you have to serve the world. You have sanskara in this world, you have to discharge those sanskara. So you cannot run away, you need not run away. It is unnatural to run away. But what you can do is to learn how to be vairagi. If you develop this vairagi also, it will also speed up your movement toward Paramarush. So develop vairagi, it will help you develop devotion. Develop vairagya, learn to cry for him and be clear about your goal so that you can cry for him, saying that I am surrounded by this madness, you know, of this world that I am into. But never let me forget you. Never let me forget your purpose. Because I know you are the most valuable and you are my goal. and I want to be even closer, and I want to be closer. I want to experience their closeness. I want to know their closeness. I know it, but I don't feel it. I don't experience it. Why is it this? Ramakrishna, a great saint of India, he was a crazy man, uneducated, never went to school in his life. If you read his books, they are most touching your heart. They will touch your heart, and they are some great realization of this crazy man. He was practically crazy, I call him crazy. And he looked crazy, he acted crazy, everything. Yet when you read his work, it is so right on the money every time. Much better than Vivekananda. Vivekananda was his disciple. And he earned much glory, name, fame, everything. But the books of Ramakrishna touches me 100 times more than books of Vivekananda. So, be like this crazy man. Crazy. He used to cry for Mother Kali in the evening. He used to cry like a baby. You know, what happened? What happened? What happened? What happened to you? They asked this crazy man, crazy Brahmin. He was in charge of taking care of the temple. He was a temple priest. So he said, no, what happened? Somebody died in your family. What happened? No, today Ma Kali, Mother Kali did not come to me. I did not experience her today. I did not feel her closeness to me. So you start thinking, you know, I spent my lifetime praying and meditating on my Mother Kali. I never got it. And if one day, if he didn't experience this, this man burst into tears. So this is how he felt about his Ishta. So we should also develop this strong desire to attain our Ishta in our meditation. This is also a strong propelling force for your meditation. So this is the sentimental side of meditation. You know, each one of us have to develop this psychic sentiment for ourselves. And I cannot teach you that. You cannot teach anybody. We have to go in our heart and examine what we feel, you know, and be honest about it and grab hold of Parampurusha in this life. So this is probably one of the strongest force that will, you know, bring you quicker elevation in meditation. Now, Baba also said that there are 7 secrets of success. Falishyati te vishvasa siddhir prathamam lakshana. What are the 7 secrets of success, Baba said? Falishyati te vishvasa siddhir prathamam lakshana. Dvityam sadhya yukta. Tritiyam guru pujanam. Chaturtho samata bhava. Panchamendriya nigraha. Shashtam cha pravitahara sattamam naiva vidyate. So, falishyati te vishvasa siddhir prathamam lakshana. The first secret of success is a strong determination that I must be successful. I can never afford to fail. And failure is not an acceptable option in what I'm taking. So, failure in meditation is not an acceptable option. This must be a firm determination. Second, and these are the factors you have to apply in your meditation. While you're meditating and before you're meditating also, in propelling you toward doing good meditation. First is determination. Second is Shraddhya Yuktam. Shraddha, the word Shraddha, the sandhi, composition of the word Shraddha is Srat plus Dha. Srat means what? Srat means? Sat? Satya. Satya. Srat is Sat, same. Sat, Dha plus Dha. Dha means?
Dharan.
Dha means?
To hold.
No, Dhri.
Dhri.
Dha. Dha means to move toward.
Dha.
To move toward. Shraddha means to move toward the truth, absolute truth. It is not enough to know, but after knowing it, you must move toward that Shraddha. So Shraddha means you have to apply Shraddha for meditation. That means you cannot just know everything and not meditate. Shraddha. Tritiyam Guru Pujanam. Guru Pujan means to do according to the desire and according to the direction of Guru. Guru means, Gu means darkness, psycho-spiritual darkness. And Ru means dispelling entity. The entity which dispels psycho-spiritual darkness from your mind is Guru. And Guru Pujan means to do according to the desire, according to the direction, according to the command of Guru. This is Guru Pujanam. Guru Pujanam is not going and putting flower and, you know, doing this arati on Guru like this. This is not Guru Pujanam, traditional Guru Pujanam. Chaturtho Samadha Bhavo. That means you must have a balanced state of mind in doing meditation, you know, develop. In success, to achieve success in life, you must develop a balance of mind. Panchamendriya Nigraha, you should develop proper control over the indriyas, organs. Organs of sensory organ and motor organs. Proper control over these organs. Shastamcha Pramitahara. Your diet should be of sentient quality. Not parimitahara. Parimitahara means controlled diet, not eating too much, not eating too little. That is called parimitahara. Pramitahara means to eat nutritious and sentient food. So your diet must be sentient diet. You should not eat meat, you should not eat, all these things, you know, onion, garlic, mushroom, meat, all these things should be avoided. So these are also the secrets of success that should be applied in your meditation. So first we say it was the goal, clarity of the goal is a foundation on which you will begin your spiritual journey. Secondly, I said psychic outlook, and this psychic outlook primarily means developing a proper relationship with Guru, understanding purpose of life, and then developing this proper relationship with Guru. Right? So this is the psychic outlook, and devotion is the most important element in that process. Then we have mechanism and process. These are also the factors. So mechanism, I will say, what is the mechanism fundamentally? And you should know and remember this, because you will be teaching meditation classes. Directly and indirectly, you will need to explain this to newcomer to meditation. So we've talked a lot about the mechanism of meditation. You know, we spend many, many, many classes. But in essence, what is the mechanism? What are the elements and what are the mechanisms of meditation? So, like for example, in short, if you had to say, what is meditation? The mechanism of meditation is what? Pratyahar, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. Right? This is the mechanism of meditation. We've talked a lot about this. Pratyahara means before meditation, you must do your shuddhis, withdrawal of the senses. Pratyahara dharana. Dharana means clearly seeing every image, every color, every position. Dhyana means to flow the mind while holding it, while doing proper dharana. Dhyana. And samadhi means to be established in the flow, to experience the flow, and to repeat the process so that you continue experience. When you have continued experiences, what happens? Your nadis open up, you know, so that Kundalini is able to then quickly arise to the next level. Once you break through initial knots, and then you try again, then Kundalini has easier path to that point. Then you have to break through the next stage. So samadhi, this experience of samadhi, this personal spiritual experiences, keeps this level of, you reach the level of achievement in your sadhana. You have to keep maintaining that level so that you can break to the next level. So pratyahara, dharana, dhyana and samadhi must be practiced regularly. Pratyahara once again means what, Trina? Pratyahara means? In one word? Pratyahara means, Raghu? In one word? I just say it.
Moderation.
Pratyahara in one word means?
Withdrawal
of the senses. You cannot meditate without proper withdrawal of the senses. Dharana means, Sarita? Dharana means?
Dharana, to see the colors and position of the, your chakras clearly.
And to hold the mind.
To hold the mind to those right? Positions.
At that point, that's Dharana. But dhyana. Dhyana means? Mantra, yes, but it also means what? To flow the mind, you know, to create the flow of the mind that is gradually merging into cosmic consciousness, cosmic flow. And the result is samadhi, okay? So this is the primary mechanism in which, so that means you should know about the chakra, their position, their colors, their shape, their sound, right? You should learn to develop the strength of the mind to locate that positions in your body and hold it. Because mind will not be held there. You know, if you, without practice, mind is hard to pinpoint the mind and hold it. And it is very important to know and to hold the mind at the right location. Because if you can hold it at that chakra, it will... I've talked about it at length, you know, what are the advantages of holding mind at those knots where the nadis meet. So anyway, this class isn't for that, but you should know. And you should remember all these things at all times. All aspects you should remember so that you can practice them. If you don't remember, how will you practice it? You know? So... this is the, now we are talking about the mechanism. So we talked about the goal, we talked about the psyche, our goal, clarity of the purpose of human life. Psychic outlooks is devotion and developing personal relationship with Guru, right? Third one is this mechanism. It means you should know how to meditate. But if you know how to meditate, but if you don't have psychic outlook, then is useless, you're wasting time. So psychic outlook is more important, but mechanism is a way of doing it. You should know, you should understand the elements involved in that. Then process, there are so many small processes we have to do, like we should do half bath, like we should do kirtan, you know, like we should have a proper sentient diet. Like for example, we should not, you know, meditate after eating. We should be present-minded when we are meditating. You know, mind should be present. Environment should be fixed and clean. And a specific place you should meditate regularly. When you're meditating, your mind must be into what you're doing. You should turn off the environment. And don't worry about so many other things that you normally constantly are under pressure during the working time of it. So these things should be there, you know. You should try to keep disturbances are. Do not answer the phone when you are meditating. Turn off. Turn it off. When you are meditating, you should remember this is an appointment with Baba. If you have an appointment with somebody and somebody comes to disturb, what will you say? No, please wait. I have an appointment with this person. Or if somebody calls up and say, hey, will you please come? No, I have an appointment. So when you invite somebody, are you available next Saturday at 11 o'clock? No, I have an appointment. That's what you do, that's what you say, right? So why when you are meditating, you are answering the phone? You have an appointment with Baba. So do not answer the phone. Do not be disturbed by anybody. When it is time for meditation, it is time for meditation. And remember, meditation sadhana is the reason why we have human body. Only human being can do sadhana. Animal cannot do sadhana. So you should remember, we are not, you know, Baba's teachings are not imbalanced crazy that says because meditation is the purpose of human existence, life, quit everything and do meditation all the time. Baba never told us that. Why? Because we are not capable of doing it. We are not that highly elevated. There are people that Baba may have said, you go to the caves and meditate, you know, 15 hours. But for most of us, at the level of sanskara we have to live in the world, continue discharging our duty, and we can still surpass the spirituality at the highest level from this very existence. This is the beauty of the gift that Baba has given us. So, all these processes should be utilized with full sincerity and practiced regularly. Does anybody have any question on any of these subjects? Or you can add also new items.
Where is it written about the chakras and all that? Is there like a specific book? Because I never learned about it.
There is a book you can read, but it won't have everything that you want to know probably. But there is that book on yoga psychology. Do you have that? That's the only book that has this information. Then there are some places in different Baba's talks in Subhasis Sangha, here and there Baba will say. But I will cover it in the class. That's one good thing in the classes that I'm giving you, where I have information from many sources that in a consolidated way, in a practical way, I will give it. And it's not just reading about it, you know. You have to understand the practical essence of what is there and how it is useful and how to practice. What about some other things that I may not... There are many things about meditation that I probably not say because this is only a review, you know. This is probably nothing new, it's a review, but it should be kept alive in our mind all the time. Meditating. What are some other aspects, Sanjeev, I might have forgotten? Anybody? Kirtan helps you in the psychic outlook also, I said, if you do Kirtan properly.
One thing, I mean, which may not be practical, especially to keep the body erect. So, in order to do that, you can do some asana. That may help. But if you're physically fit, I believe. So, another important thing is keep yourself fit. Because if you're not fit, then you can't sit.
Yeah.
Then you have to lie and do meditation, which may help. It may not be as effective as...
So doing proper asana, proper physical preparation of the mind and body both.
Because yeah. I've observed one thing that if I'm not well, unable to concentrate.
Right.
Because you are constantly in pain, your mind distracts towards that. And
what are the elements that really helps your concentration when you're meditating? How do you, each one of you, how do you achieve higher concentration in meditation? What has been helpful to you? What has been successful in your practice?
Your desire, relentless desire. You know, when I really want to meditate, there's nothing that can stop me from doing that. Because it could be I remember once there was there was a pile driver. Boom, boom, boom. Within like a minute, it didn't exist to me anymore. Because my desire was relentless. Like, even if it drifted off, it was just like boom, boom, and then just hold. You know, and hold. And even if it went up, hold again. And for me, it's the desire. That when the desire is strong, the place doesn't matter. But if you want to get down to like semantics, like details, earplugs are really good because earplugs drown out all the different sound. The place can't be too hot. It's got to be cold, but it can't be too cold either, because if you get too cold, then you'll realize it. But if it's too hot, it's something about it. Yeah, something about it messes up your ability to concentrate. Also, actually, I found first of all, you can't be too tired. If you're too tired, then you're not going to be able to focus right. Your desire will be less, because you'll desire sleeping more than you'll desire meditating. So it needs to be a state where you're not too tired. And usually around midnight is good. Mm-hmm. And then early in the morning, if you do long ones early in the morning, that's good too. But take a shower first, because it'll wake you up. And then you won't just be tired. And if you do like an hour one in the morning, those are sometimes the best. Or midday too. Middays are really good too, because your energy is at its most alive. Mm-hmm. You know?
That's a very good point. I used to do that. At lunchtime, I used to go to meditation. You know, and I used to work for these companies, AMD, this, that. I used to just drive off someplace, you know, in my car, and used to meditate in the afternoon. And it was good. Yeah.
Doing long kirtan by yourself. I know that sounds crazy, but just you don't need anything. You don't need a picture. I take my iPod. And I'll do the kirtan alone in my room, and I'll walk around, and I'll actually do it alone, you know? I've done that not a whole lot of times, but I've done it all by myself for like, you know, an hour, hour and a half, do it by myself, and then meditate. There's something to that, you know? I think it's because that's a very, takes a lot of desire to, by yourself, go around for an hour and a half. And doing it multiple times in a day, like three times, four times in a day, will do it. And then thinking about it, or thinking about God all day, and then doing it.
Yeah.
Bunch of these things I'm not doing right. Like,
that's a very good point. This is what is called Artha Sadhana. Artha Sadhana means, as he said, Ryan said, really thinking about God, which means your mantra should be really going on, you know, all the time in your mind, even when you're working, this or that, this or that. And that's very, very purifying, you know?
Yeah.
It's very purifying.
You know, and this might be wrong, but sometimes I forget to do the guru mantra before I do something. You know, oftentimes I do. But if my mind is seeing God in all things, it has the same effect.
Yeah.
It has the same effect. I might not be saying the syllables, you know, but for some, I think it has the same effect. Yeah. You know, don't want to speak to things that I don't know, but it certainly is purifying if that happens.
Yeah.
Like right now I'm at a point where I'm not all the way doing that in my life, because I'm involved in this trial and I'm exhausted, you know?
Yeah.
But at least I know what I'm not doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm longing to go back to how it was before.
And it will bring you very quickly.
Thing
that when the base is strong, you know, these are small winds. It will not hold you off too much.
Yeah.
But that's a very good point. Artha Sadhana. this one or the sadhana bhava also said you should have your mantra going on all the time in your mind. It will also remind you of your mantra if you have your ishta mantra going on, you know.
Okay, another one. You can actually, like, I know this sounds kind of weird. So sometimes when I drive or when I'm doing these, you can focus on your different points in your chakras while, like, I talk to you but still picture down here, and it actually strengthens your mind. It makes it stronger. It's really hard to focus on the chakra when you're meditating. To really do that really, really correctly, it's extremely, I think, extremely, extremely, extremely difficult. So you can literally, like, practice it all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not easy.
No.
But once you get it, it's not difficult also, you know?
That's true.
So it's like Rubik's Cube, you know? It's very hard. But once you figure it out, and then you can do it.
Talk about it with people. Talking about it inspires you. It'll inspire you. When you talk about something, you become it. And then you talk about it with people, it'll inspire you. And then it'll inspire other people, which will inspire you. You help yourself just as much as you help someone else.
What about you, Sarita? You have to contribute some wisdom too. What helps you? When do you feel successful meditation? What do you do? Think a little bit more, Sanjeev.
A couple of things. I mean, this may be very weird, people may feel this. Of course, one thing is you should not be too hungry, you should not be too full. So, because if you're too hungry, then again, you're always thinking about food. Too full, again, you don't. But one thing I've noticed that when I'm very sad, in general my meditation is really good. Somehow I find closure to God when I'm in distress, I'm sad, and I can't go to anybody else. So I think I'm more closure to God at that time than if I'm very happy.
Yeah.
In that case, when I'm very happy, I find myself very distant. You're too thrilled, I believe. So I think sometime when you are distressed, I think you should meditate.
I was just going to say that.
But in general, more I've seen is initially, it's more to do with a fixed time.
Yeah.
Actually, if you do the time fixed, initially it'll be inconvenient, but over the period of time, even if you're at that time, if you're somewhere else, automatically it comes.
Yeah.
It becomes really, really, with the time, plays a very important role.
One another point also, is a small point, but it's very effective, is you should ask for His grace. Baba told us. He said, you know, you have right to ask. You should ask for His grace. You know, make a habit of asking for His grace, spiritual grace, so that you can be closer to Him. You know, there are some laws by which God is also bound. Although He is free and He is a creator, but He has chosen to be bound Himself by those rules, and we have to exploit Him because He is bound by those things. And what are those things? This is one thing. That is, you ask for His grace, has to give you. You ask for direction, He has to give you because He created you. And so you should develop the habit of asking for His grace. Don't ask for worldly things, but ask for His grace to be closer to Him, you know. So, and make a habit of whenever you meditate, you know. So like this. And it will